Pastor, thank you for allowing me to come. I love your pastor and his family. I was your pastor. In fact, Kyle was on one of my deacons at Calvary Baptist. And I pastor Amy's dad. He's our drummer. And, I think he wanted to come with me. Amen. But he couldn't come. I made them all stay home. Amen. Including my wife. I'm by myself. Praise God. 1960, I think. I was 2 years old. I don't remember that. But my dad accepted the call to become pastor at Jasper Springs Baptist Church here in Savannah. And my sister remembers. She's 12 years older than I am. And we stayed here about 2 years. And my understanding, we did. And we moved from Savannah, Georgia, all the way to Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, a little town called Coinjock, North Carolina. And my sister hated my daddy's guts for a long time because she was about to get her driver's license here in Georgia. And then she had to wait when we got to North Carolina. I thought that was funny. But it's been back to Savannah several times, and I'm grateful to be here with you this morning. Grateful for this week. We're praying, amen, for God to move. Take your Bibles to Colossians chapter number 2. I'll be there in a moment. Romans 8:37 says that we are conquerors. In fact, the Word says we are super conquerors. Now, several years ago, my wife and I had the great privilege to go to Paris, France, with a dear friend of ours, Mike Whitson and his wife, and we went to Paris and stayed about a week and a half, and we went to the Louvre, that great museum. And in that museum, there's a statue, and it's a statue of a Greek mythology of a goddess by the name of Nike. In fact, the man who invented Nike tennis shoes and Nike product got the name from that. Of course, I'm a North Carolina fan. I have been a long time, and Michael Jordan's the greatest basketball player ever played, and it ain't no debates. Don't even come to me. My son says it's LeBron James. He don't know what he's talking about. My son needs to get saved. But that you see the picture, and it's the picture of Michael Jordan fixing the slam dunk. It's a swoosh. And that God, the Greek people believed in the Greek times, they believed that during the Olympic Games that the Greek goddess Nike would come down and literally swoosh over to give them victory. Now there is a triune of words that has to do with that word Nike. It means to conquer. That's what the word means. But then also you have not only Nike, you have Nikeo, which means to have victory. So you have to conquer and you have victory. And then you have Honikon, which means the overcomer. So you've got victory, you've got conquering, and you've got overcoming. And that all describes our lovely Lord Jesus this morning. He is our victory, amen? He is our conqueror and He is our overcomer. But I have a question this morning. What did He overcome? I have a question this morning. What did He give us victory over? I have a question this morning. What did he conquer over us? I want you to look at Colossians chapter number 2, and we're going to walk through this. Now, I'm probably not going to get through all of this, but I know already, I know. Listen, He defeated death. Praise God. My daddy died in 1994, in just a few weeks. In fact, in just a few weeks, my dad would have been 95 years old. He died when he was 74, pastored for over 40 years, and I miss him every day. Amen? I miss him every day. My mother died in 2005, and I miss her every day as well. I miss her fried chicken. Ain't nobody. Nope, I can taste it right now. And she made a special chocolate cake. Glory to God. But she's in glory, and I'm praying that on the marriage supper of the Lamb, there'll be Mama's fried chicken and her chocolate cake. Amen. We humanize it too much. But listen. When I go to that grave in Union, South Carolina, where they were born and raised, when I go to that grave, they're not there. The absent from the body is what? Present with the Lord. Just what you sang, Brother Daniel. Hey, friend, they're in glory right now. Having a holy hootenanny right now around the throne of God. I can't wait for some of the dead Baptists that I pastored. When they get to heaven, it's going to be fun to watch them. Amen? I'm going to give you two things quickly this morning. Number one, He defeated sin. Somebody, amen, goes right there. Now, watch Colossians chapter 2. Watch what it says in verse number 13. And you being what? Dead in your sins. Now, we are dead before we were saved. And there's some of you here this morning, this describes you. If you're not saved this morning, lost, you are dead in your sin. You are dead in trespasses and sin. In other words, all have sinned and come short of what? The glory of God. We have all missed the mark. Now, when we speak of that term, when we speak of that verse, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we begin to look at the glory of God. And that glory of God is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the glory of God. So, here's this demand. Here's this perfection line up here. And here we are, and that's the glory of God. We have missed that mark. We can't work at it. We can't. Listen, it's a picture of a bow and arrow. You throw the bow and arrow at it, you start that you miss just a little part of it. You miss the whole target. We miss it. And listen, this is going to make some of you have to take a Tylenol. God demands perfection to get into heaven. So guess who that leaves out? Everybody in this room. We can't get there by our works. We can't get there by just praying this or praying that and saying, all right, Mom and Daddy was a part of Chevis Oaks. Mom and Daddy was a part of this church. Mom and Daddy did this. No, you can't get to heaven on somebody's coattails. If we understand what Jesus said, then we need to believe the truth. Amen? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, either that's true or Jesus is the biggest liar there ever was. I'm telling you, it's truth. You can't go any other way but by way of the cross. Now, why did he say that we are dead to sin? Let me tell you why. Sin kills. Sin destroys. Don't ever forget that. Sin kills. It destroys. It always leads to spiritual death. The wages of sin is death. Now, watch what else he says. There's some in this room like that, but watch what he says. And you being dead in your sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh. Now, what does he mean by that? He's already talked about the circumcision in verses 11 and 12. He's talking about your Adamic nature, your spiritual condition. He's not talking about something physical here. He's talking about you are lost without God. You have never been circumcised in your spirit. In other words, you have never, ever, ever been saved. You've not allowed Jesus Christ to come in and take that nature and completely turn you into something brand spanking new. Listen to me. When you got saved, supposedly, things changed. Somebody says they got saved in vacation Bible school when they were 7 years old, and they lived like hell for 40 years. And he come back to me and said, well, the preacher told me I was saved. I want to tell you something. I was 9 when I got saved, and I know what happened with me. I didn't know everything. I was listening to Dr. Stanley this morning. I'm like him. I didn't know everything. I didn't understand repentance really. But I just knew that moment in my life, if I didn't say yes to Christ, this 9-year-old boy was headed to hell. Dead. Uncircumcised in our spirit. Look what else he says in Colossians 2:13. Hath he quickened together with him. In other words, God took those who were dead spiritually and he made us alive together with him. Death to life. All that happened. Why? Because of the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross of Christ. Now, why is that possible? Well, what's the next phrase in verse number 13? Watch it. Having forgiven you all trespasses. That means having washed away all of your sin by the grace of Almighty God, having covered up your sin by the grace of God. And that is giving you, listen to me, freedom in Christ. He's defeated sin. Now, how did he do that? I mean, what all occurred at Calvary? I mean, you talk about power. Watch what it says in verse 14. Powerful two words here. Blotting out. Blotting out. Out. It literally means to cancel the debt. What did God cancel at the cross? I'll tell you what he did. He washed away my sin. He took my sin away. He wiped it out of his own memory. Now, some people say this, well, he just chose not to remember. I mean to tell you, the scripture tells me he put it as far as east of the west, as deep as the ocean. My God, listen, here's our problem. Here's what, even this preacher, we try to explain salvation. How in the world you explain something can't be explained? We got this group over here that says, well, God's going to save who he wants to save. Well, God knows who's going to be saved. He's God. Here's what we try to do. We try to put God in the box of our human mind. Have you ever checked your mind out lately? Older I get, the less I just forget things. Amen? I went to the store the other day and Brenda had me a list. I mean, I had a list and I still forgot two things on the list. I had a list, man. She always sends me to the grocery store with a whole list of stuff, but she never puts Little Debbie snack cakes on the list. I don't understand that. So all I see magically is little Debbie snack cakes, little Debbie snack cakes. It just floats off there. I just write it with my eyes. Amen? I mean, we're trying to figure God out. I don't want a God I can figure out. I mean, I want to serve a holy God. It is great. Listen, anybody here today have a debt in your life? You own your house? I mean, I'm going to tell you something. Somebody rang my doorbell today and just came to my house and said, Pastor Tom, I want to pay your house off. I'd get cars, charismatic, son. I'd run 40 miles. Y'all with me? Man, paying my house off, glory to God. Hey, son, I'm against gay marriage, but I'd kiss him on the mouth. I promise you that. Amen. Anybody pay my house off, pay my debt, glory to God. Well, what did Jesus do for you and me? He blotted it out, canceled the debt, listen to me, as if it had never been a debt to start off with. He adopted you in the family of God. That means great. I'm going to tell you something, folks. That adoption thing means a whole lot more to this preacher today than it did some time before. I'll tell that story maybe later on this week. But I'm going to tell you, man, I've got a new grandson from the island of Grenada. And I'm telling you, he's something. I had to keep him the other week. Hey, I was with him by myself for 3 days. I aged 20 years. He's 4 years old, son. Why? I forgot about this why business. Why? Hush your mouth, boy! In America, we don't ask why here. He paid the debt. Watch what it says again in verse 14. Blot out. Now watch this, man. If this don't make you run, I don't know what will. And the handwriting of ordinances, that was what? Against us, which was contrary to us. We have a debt that stands against us. But watch what else it says. There are consequences. Listen, am I right? If you don't pay your debt, they're going to write you a letter. They're going to call you. They may come get something. Amen? The record of that debt stood against us. Well, even though I signed again and again, every day of my life I signed the note. I signed it, listen, with every sin I have ever committed, just like you did. And I knew that those sins would never lead me to God, just like you did. I am guilty. I am guilty. I am guilty before a holy God. Now, I want to say something to you. I love you. I don't even know most of you, but I want to tell you something. Some of you think you're hot, but you're not. In fact, I've been pastoring for 25 years. I've been raised in the church. I tell folks I've been a Southern Baptist before the foundation of the world. And I've met some folks, Brother Daniel, and you probably have too, who think they're the fourth member of the Trinity. I've had some folks that I pastored through the years say, all right, preacher, if I left, this church would fall apart. Here's my answer after 25 years and getting old. You ready? Bye. See you later. All seriousness, folks, who do we think we are? That we sort of help God out? God doesn't need your help. We need Him. We need Him. I'm guilty. In fact, if you really want to get sick, read Romans chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8, and you'll find out that before you got saved, you were a God-hater. You had enmity with God. You were enemy with God. In fact, it's not the fact that you've done some things wrong. You were born wrong. I love parents with small kids, and especially parents with teenagers when they go to camp, and they'll say, well, you know what? That kid will get in trouble. Maybe the youth pastor's got a call and say, listen, Johnny's done this, and here's what some parents will say. Not my son. He would never do anything like that. You know who needs to get spanked? Mom and Daddy. I have two children. I have Crystal, and Kyle Amy's been a great influence on my daughter. She's now married and has a child from Grenada. They just adopted him, and they live in Nashville, Tennessee. And then I have a son, Joshua. He's 6'2". Don't ask. My daddy was 6'2". Don't ask. I was 6'2", and Daddy beat me down to 5'0". Amen. I never had a problem with a teacher calling me and saying, Pastor Tom, Joshua, or usually it was Crystal. She's just like me. I never had a problem with them saying, I got a problem with a kid. I never went. You know why? They're my children. I'm going to tell you something. When I get to heaven and I go to the judgment seat, my daddy's going to be there because he knows all things now. And I'm going to get a whooping before I get into heaven. Are y'all with me? There's things Daddy didn't know, all right? Hey, some of y'all right now, amen, you're having hives right now. Amen. Thank God it's all under the blood. It just ain't under BT's blood yet, amen. But I'm here to tell you, folks, I never had a problem with it. Why? They are my children. They come from Adamic nature. They're born wrong. You do not teach a child to do wrong. You teach a child to do what? Right. Why? Because they do wrong things. We are guilty before a holy God. And before anybody can be saved, they need to understand they are lost without God. You got to know you're lost before you can be found. What did he say? Quickly in verse 14. Not only the handwriting, these things that were written against us, our sin, which was contrary to us, but watch what he says. And took it out of the way. Literally, he set it aside. Even though I was guilty, he set it aside. What does it mean? It means he put it out of sight. He wiped it out. Now, how did he do that? Watch this now. Nailing it to his what? Cross. Well, praise the name of Jesus. The cross. He wiped it away at Calvary. It took it away at the cross. He set aside at the cross because he nailed all our sins to the cross. Never forget, child of God, that your sin was nailed to the cross and Jesus took it there victoriously. Man, you start reading Ephesians chapter 1 and looked at in verses 3 through 14, which is one long praise of what God did in giving us all spiritual blessings. I'll talk more about that tonight. And then we find out how God the Son just really gave that to us and all the things that He did at Calvary and all the things He did for us in redemption and through our remission of sins, forgiving our sins. Just amazing. And the wonder of God's grace. It is amazing the wonder of God's grace in our life. When you start thinking what Jesus Christ did at the cross, it ought to break us. It ought to humble us. And I'm telling you something, folks. We got a lot of people in the church strutting around like a peacock thinking they're too good to be damned. I mean to tell you something, folks. When you get an insight and you begin to look at what Jesus Christ did for you, it will bring you to your knees. Because once you're saved, before you're saved, here's one thing, preacher, that I just don't see among people anymore. And that is conviction of sin. You remember the Pharisee and the publican in Matthew 18? And here's that Pharisee who was this great guy. He knew everything about the church. And he stood in the temple and he looked at that publican. And that publican, listen, was a tax collector. Glory to God. But here's what he did. That publican would just work for the Roman government. But he could charge as much tax as he wanted to. He'd keep the rest and give Rome what they wanted. So he wasn't a pretty liked fella. Y'all with me? He would very rarely be in the temple. That's amazing about that story. He's in the temple. And the Bible says he's bowing there and he's pleading with God. But that Pharisee says, I'm glad I'm not like that publican. I'm glad I'm not like this one and this one and this one. And that's the average Baptist I know today. They look at themselves and say, listen, I'm better than that person. No, you're not. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. And listen, I don't care if you're Donald Trump with all the money in the world or a homeless person that y'all minister to. It doesn't matter. If you die without Christ, you're going to hell. Same thing is true. If they accept Christ, they're going to go to heaven. Just receive Christ. The cross broke the curse of sin. 1 Corinthians 15:3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. It's the cross that settled the sin issue. We celebrate Easter. We affirm the cross that He won the victory. He is our victor. You know, Pastor Tom, how can God take all my sins? Well, I don't know who you are, but I can tell you this. Hear me. It don't matter who you are. I've met a lot of folks that I really wondered. I'm just going to be honest today. I've really wondered. I don't know whether God can save that guy or not. I'm talking about wicked lifestyle. And then God had to remind me, same grace saved you, saved him. So it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. I'm here to tell you, Jesus can save you today. He can give you new life today. Come to the cross. Jesus will save you. Jesus wants you to walk in victory. I'll talk more about this tonight and probably tomorrow night, Jesus tarries, but we need to understand something, folks. What happened when we got saved is that God gave us freedom. Not freedom to do what we want to do, but freedom to walk in obedience of Almighty God. Dr. Adrian Rogers, who was one of my mentors, and I loved him, we miss him. He said, you will never live in this life perfect. I know some Baptists who think they are. But you'll never live in this life perfect. But you can live this life and sin less. You'll never live this life sinless, but you can live in this life and sin less. As Jesus does a work in your heart by the way of the cross, you just need to appropriate the cross. You know what the cross is? Death. Not only did I get life when I received Christ as my Lord and Savior and Master, but yet every single day of my life and my Christian walk, I appropriate that cross, which, listen, He died for me 2,000 years ago, but I died with Him as well. And that life that He lived and died and rose from the dead, He gave me His life. And now I can walk in freedom. I can walk in obedience. As I surrender and yield on a constant daily basis, realizing what He's done for me at the cross. There's some of us here this morning, maybe you've been saved for a long time, but son, you need to go back and kneel at the old rugged cross and thank God for what He did for you. I'm really worried about the day's church today. You travel a lot. I do too. I find people, even in my own church, is sort of used to it. Satisfied. God, how we need a revival of the cross. How we need a revival of what Jesus did for us. I want you to listen to this statement. Jesus' death did not occur so you could manage your sin effectively. Jesus' death occurred that you would experience His overcoming of your sin victoriously. The cross is not about being a better manager of my sin so anybody will find out how sorry I am. Can I tell you this? Everybody already knows how sorry you are. Just ask your wife. Ask your kids. Oh, you can come in. You can come in the house of God. It's amazing, man. I had a preacher friend of mine years ago. He would do this to young couples, and I haven't done this. I ought to. But they would come in, and little kids, especially small kids. Just small kids tell the truth. Y'all know that. I mean, they'll tell the truth. Doesn't matter what it is. They'll tell the truth. And so, old Mickey, he would come up to somebody. Somebody's in the kids come in, and he could tell they were running late. You know how it is on Sunday morning. Come on. And you got your kids, and you're running late. And you've been in the car going, yeah, to each other and all that kind of stuff. The kids are going, wah, wah, wah. I mean, all that. You get to the house of God, go, hello, preacher. How you doing today? And so Mickey would say, hey, let me ask y'all two questions. Did mom and daddy have an argument coming to church this morning? They sure did, preacher. As if we're going to put on our Baptist coat and everything's okay. Let me tell you something, folks. God knows. God knows you right here this morning. He knows every single person in this room. He defeated sin. Hallelujah, He defeated sin. And He defeated sin. Let me tell you how I continue to understand that He defeated sin. Christ in me, the hope of glory. You know how I know I'm saved? I can't get away with nothing. Not only was I convicted when I got saved, I'm going to tell you something, folks, I stay convicted every single day. Manly Beeson says, you ain't saved unless you repent every moment of your life. Because God just continues to reveal more and more who you are. More and more who you are. He defeated sin, but let me give you this one in closing. He defeated Satan. I want you to watch verse 15. Having spoiled principalities and powers, having made a show of them openly, triumphant over them in it. What does that mean? The very evil powers and satanic forces that Jesus encountered on this earth, who had weighed Him down with enormous temptations, it was at the cross that Jesus Christ, listen to me, stripped them of their powers and stripped them of their weapons. He said, look at it, a show of them openly. In other words, He put the devil to shame at the cross. Now, I know we have an enemy. But God has told us how to handle the enemy. Our weapons are not fleshly and carnal. No, He's told us in Ephesians 6 that we're to put on the whole armor of God. Can I tell you what the armor of God is? It's Jesus. Just put on Jesus. And there's some of you being defeated in your Christian walk and you blaming it on the devil. I heard about the devil one time. He was outside of church. And the church was having a business conference. I hate them things. Had a business conference. They were fussing and arguing and just mully-grubbing one another about something. Devil's out on the front porch. And somebody walked by and said, Satan, what you doing out here? He said, well, you won't believe what they're blaming me for in there. We blame a lot of things on the devil, but I'm here to tell you something. Listen, I'm talking to children of God right now. The only right you give Him is the right you give Him. He's been defeated. First Peter says It's a roaring lion seeking those he may devour. You know what that roaring lion is a picture of? It's an old lion and ain't got no teeth. You know what happened to the devil at Calvary? He went to the dentist and Jesus pulled every one of them. Amen? He did! And the only thing we have is what we allow him to come in. Because, listen, you got three enemies. You got the world, and that's our world system. Glory to God, it's an enemy. You got the devil, that's an enemy. But your worst enemy is who you looked at in the mirror this morning. That is your flesh. That is your worst enemy. And it needs to be crucified over and over and over again. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I need to die every single moment of my life. There's a great song that I love to hear sung sometimes. Old Jimmy Swaggart made it famous. Jesus, be Jesus in me. No longer me but thee. Resurrection power, fill me this hour. Jesus, be Jesus in me. The cross. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, a very wicked church, and said, for the preaching of the cross of them that perishing is foolishness. For those who are saved, it is the power of God. I don't know whether, I'm sure they do that. They do this all over the country. Someone dies in a car wreck, there's a cross usually set on the side of the road. You know why? Somebody met eternity. Somebody died. Crosses on our steeples. What does that cross say? You know, without me or Pastor Kyle or any other preacher, the cross preaches. You know what the cross says? The cross says you're lost. You're lost. At the same time, that cross says you're loved. Hallelujah. For God so loved, put your name there, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should have what? Everlasting life. That cross preaches. For the cross polarizes us through two opinions. Some say it's foolishness. Can I tell you what that means, young people? It means some people say that the cross, that he canceled our debt out. Some say the cross is moronic. It's foolishness. But others know it's the power of God. It's really two opinions, but two outcomes. Because if you think it's moronic, you're headed to hell. But if you think it's the power of God, praise God, you're saved. But this cross in Colossians also says that it pulls. Several years ago in Fort Worth, Texas, there was a young teenage boy, 14, 15 years old. He was deaf and dumb. He couldn't speak, and he went to his mom and dad after he had a pretty good sign language group in their church, and he heard his pastor preach one Sunday and through sign language, and he went home and he told his mom, and he said, Mom, God's called me to preach in sign language. She goes, oh, son, you've missed it. You can't stand before people. You can do maybe the other thing, sign language and hearing impaired, you could do that. Maybe that you can do that ministry, but God's not called you to preach. He said, I'm telling you, Mom, God's called me to preach. Well, he wouldn't take no for an answer. He went to his daddy. Daddy told him the same thing. And then his daddy said, well, why don't you go see the preacher? So they took him to the preacher. Sat down with a pastor, and the pastor said, you've missed it, son. God didn't call you to preach. You got to be able to talk. You got to listen to people. You missed it. Well, he didn't take that for an answer. He went out back of his dad's shop, and his dad had a big woodworking shop, and he built a cross, just a big old cross. And he saw Arthur Blessed on TV one time, and he put wheels on that cross. And in Fort Worth, Texas, he would take that cross right before he went to school. He'd go to the busy intersection right outside of Fort Worth, and he would hold that cross up, and he would just point to the cross. He'd get out of school. He'd bring that cross with him and get that same intersection. He did that for months and months. Rain didn't matter. Snow didn't matter. Cold, hot, didn't matter. For months, he pointed to the cross. One day, a tragic accident, a truck ran off the road, and he hit that young man, and he was tragically killed. The church that he attended was packed with people. Packed. Not that they knew his name, because the front page of the headline said, listen to this, boy that pointed to the cross died. And many of them came to the funeral not even knowing his name until they read it in the obituary. But all they knew him was as the boy that pointed to the cross. Can I tell you what I've come from Rock Hill, South Carolina to do? Are you ready? To point you to the cross. That's all I came to do this morning. Point you to the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my life rolled away. Has it rolled away? Jesus cast it, blotted it out. I want every head bowed and every eye closed in this room. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I know we're fixing to eat. I know we're going to have a wonderful time of fellowship. But I'm here to tell you something, folks. As this church is going to experience revival, then we need to understand some folks in this building need to get saved. I don't care how long you've been a member of this church. Being a member of this church is not going to send you to heaven. Friend, you'll probably go to hell faster than anybody else because you've been deceived. I'm not talking about people joining the church or anything of that nature. Pastor can take care of that later. But here's what I'm talking about. Do you know, if you died right now, where would you go? Jesus Christ went to the cross. Listen, hanging between heaven and earth is not fit for both. And He who knew no sin became sin for you and me. He took your sin and paid the debt, wiped it out as if it never even happened. You and I remember it because we need to remember where God found us. Far as east to the west, the deepest ocean. Do you know Him? Have you by faith trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior and Master? With heads bowed and eyes are closed, and there's no power in what I'm doing here in my words, but I believe there ought to be a beginner's prayer right here. There needs to be a beginner's prayer of conviction of sin. Is the Holy Spirit of God showing you your sin right now? And do you have the confidence that Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone will save you? Then confess your sin before God. Say, "Dear God, I'm a sinner. Dear God, I'm going to hell. I'm lost. Dear God, forgive me of my sin. I'm repenting. I'm turning from my sin. I'm turning to You. My only hope of all is You, Jesus. I'm turning to You. Save me." Cry out as the Pharisees, the publican cried out. "Dear God, save me. God, be merciful to me, a sinner." That's exactly what that publican did in Matthew. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Cry out to God right now. Ask Him to save you. With heads bowed and eyes are closed, and I'm not going to come by and I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come back and get you. But if you prayed a similar prayer, you say, "Pastor Tom, would you pray for me about my salvation?" If you prayed that prayer, all I want you to do, I'm looking to my left or your right. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to just look at me right now. If you prayed that, yes. I'm looking here to my left right here. If you prayed that prayer, if you ask Jesus, maybe you just say, "Pastor, I just need You to pray for me. Would You do that?" I'm looking to my right. "Ma'am, did you pray that prayer?" Praise the Lord. Praise God. Looking to my right, your left. Amen, amen. I'm looking all the way to my far right, right here. Now here's the invitation. Pastor Kyle's going to be standing here. Here's the invitation. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to come. I want you to talk to Pastor Kyle because you need to get some things settled. Don't you take the word of this preacher. Don't you say, go out and say, "Well, Pastor Tom said I was saved." No, proof's in the pudding, son. And if you don't make it public, Jesus said, "Listen, if you don't make it public for me, and I will not make it public for my Father in heaven." He said that. I didn't write it. But there's others of you here today. You're saved. You're saved, and you know if you died right now, you're going to heaven, but your walk ain't right. I'm going to ask you to remember the cross. What did He do for you? He blotted it out. You ought to fill this altar this morning in praising God for what He did for you. Maybe you got some sin, some things in your life you need to deal with. You need to deal with it right now. I want everybody to stand all over the building. Pastor Kyle's going to be here. Altars ought to be filled right now with people coming. And praying, maybe you need to pray for others that needs to come. Whatever God's leading you to do, just come right now. As they're playing, come right now. Come right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. As you come, come right now.